Help us, Lord.
Amen. Good, brother. Amen.
You know, the Bible says, don't fear sudden fear. Do you ever have sudden fear come on you? Now, many times, that could be a spirit. I remember I was preaching somewhere, and I knew the devil didn't like what I was preaching, and just from different things that happened, I knew that God wanted me to preach a certain thing, and it caused a little stir, and but I had begged the Lord. I said, Lord, let me preach something else. Let me preach something else. No, this is what I want you to do. He actually showed me things that were going to happen, and so I preached it while the devil didn't like it. So I went to studying that night and praying. And while I was in the room, it was as if just you're sitting at a desk. I could almost picture like a big bat swooping down on me. That's how I felt. Like something fearful just trying to get on me. So you could feel that. That's a real thing that happens. I couldn't see anything, but I could feel something that was angry at me and trying to get me. And so what did I do? I pray. And naturally, we pray. Say, Lord Jesus, amen. Help me, Lord. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I rebuke thee, Satan. You know?
Amen.
And like Tim said, be persistent
amen.
With your faith.
Amen.
Be persistent with your faith. He's just because you have faith, the devil doesn't mean the devil's going to leave you alone. He's going to knock at that to see if that's real faith.
Amen.
But you stand fast, and what we'll find is the Word of God is true.
Hallelujah.
Stand fast on the Word of God, even in the midst of sudden fear. Suddenly, don't be nervous. Don't be anxious. It's not going to help you to be nervous and anxious.
Yes,
doesn't make it better.
Nope.
It makes it worse. But faith, sound mind, sober mind, focus on what God has promised
amen.
To us.
Amen.
That's what we need to do in those critical times.
Hallelujah.
So failure is really nothing to fear. Do you realize that? This is the real, it's such a bluff. The fear of failure is such a huge bluff to people. In other words, the devil, you know, he many times he'll create something that big and have millions of people in prison to it, but there's nothing to it. Like the Catholic system, you know, it's all this big show of buildings and garments and all this ceremony, and the whole system is not of God at all.
Amen.
But we see millions of people following that. Fear of failure is like the same thing. Because the truth is, what people fear the most is like, I don't want to fail because I don't want to be a failure.
Right.
In other words, fear tells you if you fail, you're a failure. That's your identity. That's what you are. And people don't want to be labeled a failure. Who wants to be labeled a failure? But the truth is, failure is an event, not a person.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
And we need to understand that truth. Everyone fails.
Yes.
Amen.
And we can actually learn from failure.
Amen.
I've learned from my failures many things. I try to do something good, and man, I failed. You know, a lot of times when I first became a Christian, I was so enthusiastic, and I tried to share truth in such a wrong way that I failed miserably. Have you ever been through that?
Amen.
You know, I made my mother cry, the sweetest lady I ever met. I made her cry because I didn't have wisdom in presenting the gospel.
Amen.
The Bible says, pray for wisdom, doesn't it?
Amen.
If any man lack wisdom, which we all do, if you're going to do something, if you're going to talk to somebody, don't do it until you pray for wisdom.
Amen.
Say, Lord, I'm not able. I have a desire to do something I know is good, but I don't have the wisdom to do it right. But I'm asking you to give me wisdom to help me.
Amen.
See, and He will give you the right words to say.
Amen.
He said, in that hour, He'll give you the right words to say. So, I've learned. I've looked back, and I pushed my wife away when I was first converted, because I found all these rules that she had to obey, and that's not it. We don't need to get people to be church members. We need to get them to Christ.
Amen.
We need to get them to that one that saved us and touched us and changed us and helped us to see. Because we can't force other people to live what they can't see.
Amen.
We need to love them and win them to Christ. And that takes humility. See, humility many times is the answer when people want to take a proud, arrogant way. That doesn't work at all. God always moves in humility and in lowliness and in meekness. He never moves in arrogant, know-it-all, that kind of spirit. He's always, don't you love that about God?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So failure of fear is just such a sham. We're not failures if we fail. We're humans.
Right.
We're mortal beings. We fail because everybody fails. Now, many years ago, some of you might remember, I took a Wednesday night service and I preached about this, and I highlighted successful people, according to the world, successful people that had many failures. And I actually think it's worth talking a little bit about again, because the things that they focused on were important, see? So let's just look at that again, some people that actually failed. You know, even the proverb says, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. Right? It's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get up.
Amen.
That makes a difference, see? So if you fail and fail and fail and fail, and then you're like, oh, what's the point? And you give up. See, that's the failure, is not trying to get up again. Not believing that it matters to get up again, to try again. See, if we look at just a few people, again, now, what the world calls success, we don't call success, right? To me, success is defined by being born again of the Spirit of God. Because outside of that, all of the things of the world will not satisfy you or bring you real happiness in life. See, but these people that may not be born again, or they may, I don't know what, I'm not going to judge them, but if they're not born again, they could still have worldly success. And a lot of times, it's people that had many failures. So the lesson we can learn, even from people that are not Christians, is to keep trying, even though you fail.
Amen.
Say, well, I've failed God so many times, I don't know why He wants anything to do with me. That has nothing to do with it. Everybody fails.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to stop trying. He wants you to get up again. He wants you to believe that that sacrifice is there to take care of your failures.
Amen.
And trusting and believing in that, you can learn from your failures.
Hallelujah.
But don't cater to fear and say, well, God just hates me. I know He just hates me. Listen, the devil's got you right there. If he can convince you God's against you, you're defeated right then. We need to believe God is on our side.
Amen.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, how many knows what a Dyson is? It's a vacuum cleaner, right? It's a really good vacuum cleaner. We have one back here. So, 5,126 is the number of failed prototypes. Sir James Dyson went through over 15 years. Now, I'm thinking, I might have thought about giving up, right? But he didn't give up. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Amen.
15 years, 5,126 prototypes. But because he persisted, it led him to arguably the best bagless vacuum cleaner. And the company's worth billions of dollars. So here's a success story. I realize it's not spiritual success unless you have Christ in your life. I get that.
Amen.
But we can learn from this.
Amen.
Look at all those failed attempts. 5,126. I think I'm on number 27. I'm going, I don't know. Is this me? 5,126 attempts before he had success. Persistence pays.
Amen.
Many times successful athletes or people, they say, you know, it's not necessarily all about skill or being smart. Persistence leads to opportunities.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord. Anyway, I like it. So Maureen says it's not the best now because there's another one out that gets rid of the long hair wraps around it. I don't know what that one's called, but
a shark.
A shark? So it gets rid of the long, you know, with our sisters with long hair, you know, we love your long hair, but man, it really does damage to the vacuum cleaner, right? How many times have you been there with the scissors, okay? And so, hey, there's, you know, and that just shows you there's always another idea. A great idea, there still can be another idea, right? Now, we're not in favor of movies and stuff. Steven Spielberg made a lot of movies, but he was twice rejected by the University of California School of Cinematic Arts. So they rejected him twice. And he became, you know, famous in that world and made all these bad movies, probably. Thomas Edison. He, as we know him, the electric lights, right? What might be the most discouraging statement or worst teaching practice? Thomas Edison was told by his teachers, "You're too stupid to learn anything." Yeah, that's not really good input from an adult. But we all can be guilty of giving bad input to people, especially as parents. Think of your children as a computer. Good inputs leads to good outputs. Bad inputs leads to bad outputs. Tell them that they can. Don't tell them that they never can. Tell them they can. They'll believe you.
Yes.
Edison finally said, "I have not failed. I have just 10,000 ways that won't work." So I don't know how many different things he had for the light bulb, but thousands maybe, that actually he tried and the filaments didn't work, right? So finally he found something that worked, and of course the rest is history. He also had 1,000 patents, so he was an inventor, and he included the phonograph, the electric lamp, and all these other things. So many failures, but finally, because of persistence and faith that he could find something, he finally did. Walt Disney, his editor, a former newspaper editor, told Walt he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Of course, he went on to create the whole Disney empire. Disney's take on failure. I think it's important to have a good failure when you're young. Now, think about that. He doesn't look at it like bad. He's like, this is important to have a good failure. He says, because it makes you aware of what can happen to you. Because of it, failure, I've never had any fear in my whole life when we've been near collapse and all that. I've never been afraid. Wow, that should be the testimony of every Christian. I'm not afraid of anything.
Amen.
I trust in God. I believe all things work together for my good.
Amen.
Because the Bible said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
That's me. But bad things happen. Yeah, bad things happen, but they're happening for my good and for something that's going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
See, faith in that alleviates fear. It just pushes fear out of the way. Einstein, I didn't know this about him. As a child, he didn't start speaking until he was 4. Didn't start reading until he was 7. Now, what do we do as parents? We're like always comparing our children to other children, you know. We're like, oh, he has to be potty trained by 1. Listen, he's not potty trained at 1. You are. You're potty trained. Because the kid, he's going to learn when he's going to learn, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But don't let fear, like, I don't want my kid to be behind and all that. Einstein didn't speak till he was 4. They thought that he was mentally, you know, handicapped. Turned out to be he was a genius. And, you know, he in physics and all that. There's so many other people. Abraham Lincoln, his failures were broad. He left for a war as a captain and came back as a private one time. He had multiple business failures. He marched into politics and had several failed runs at political office before becoming president. Failure, failure, failure everywhere in his life. Disappointments. He had a child that died. You know, disappointment and failure, we can't let that run our life. We can't let that change what we want to do in life.
Amen.
We're all going to fail. And listen, we're all going to fail God at some point.
Amen.
But don't think that He's ever going to fail you.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
His love to us is unconditional.
Amen.
That's hard for people to accept. Because so much of human love is, if you do this, then I'll do this. And if you behave well, then I'll behave well to you. But God doesn't do that. He chooses to love the unlovable.
Hallelujah.
That's amazing.
Amen.
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 Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Dr. Seuss, I know it's kind of weird comic children books, but he was rejected by 27 different publishers before he had success. Oprah Winfrey was fired from her first job in Baltimore before she went on. She says, there's no such thing as failure. Failure is just life trying to move us in another direction. It's interesting. Stephen King, of course, he writes weird books, but he was rejected 30 times, his first book. He threw it in the trash. His wife took it out and said, just submit it one more time, and it was accepted, and he published a lot of books. Probably bad books, I know, but Van Gogh, he didn't sell much paintings. Michael Jordan's interesting. This is the last one. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Who'd have thought, right? But he won 6 championships, 5 MVPs, arguably one of the greatest basketball players. He says, and I love this quote, and this is something we should remember, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. See, because he kept trying. He didn't give up because he failed. Failure teaches us, and not just worldly people. You know, I was looking at the final thoughts. It said persistence and certitude. Do you know what certitude is? Freedom from doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Persistence and certitude are the difference between success and failure. If that's true in the natural, there's a type in the spiritual realm. Look at Moses. His mother told him, you're the one. You're the chosen one. All the kids were dead but you. We put you out in the thing and the crocodiles didn't get you and you were raised in the house of Moses. Right? And then the first chance he gets, he goes out and he kills the Egyptian and he tries to do it himself and he fails.
Amen.
So then he runs away and he's out in the wilderness and then God gets a hold of him. But he smote the rock twice. That actually hindered him from getting into the promised land, right? Moses represented the law, but crossing over really is grace, Joshua grace. So, but anyway, Moses, he smote the rock once, and water came from the rock. We know the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's wonderful about this, after he smote the rock once, after that, he was only supposed to speak of it. But he smote it again, right? See, on Calvary, he made the one sacrifice forever for sin.
Amen.
We cannot make another sacrifice for sin. We are only to speak of it.
Amen.
And it's a failure for us to try and earn our salvation in any way, to try and earn God. God already loves us more than he could ever love
us.
Oh my. Amen.
We already have that favor. We need to accept that favor.
Yes.
We need to accept the pardon. If you've sinned, if you've failed against God, listen, you need to believe if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin.
Amen.
Faith will get you out of the pit. Fear will keep you in the pit of doubt and self-loathing and all that. God help us.
Amen.
Moses failed. Look at Jonah. He failed. He disobeyed God. You know, God said, go that way. He went the other way. But that wasn't the end of the story. And then when he was down, what I love about Jonah, when he was down in that belly of that great fish that was prepared for him, and there's seaweed wrapped all over him, and you know, can you imagine? It must have smelled horrible. And anyway, he had faith to pray. Mm-hmm. See, that's what we need when we're dealing with the results of our failures.
Amen.
When we get down into the pit of realizing how unworthy we are, we have to find faith somewhere.
Amen.
Catering to your fears and doubts, that's not going to get you out. But faith in God's word will get you out. It got him out of the belly of that fish, right? When Peter denied Christ, what a failure. You know, and the one gospel lets you know that Jesus looked at him and they made eye contact after he denied him. Can you imagine how crushing that was to Peter, who earlier that night he said, though they all run, I'll die for you. See, he wasn't the man he thought he was. And whenever we realize we're not the person we thought we were, that is such a crushing blow to us. And we're down in a pit of sin. We're down in sorrow. We're down in self-loathing. And Peter wept bitterly that night. You know, do you think the devil didn't come to him and says, you're no good? Somehow, Peter got up again. And then God used that failure to lead on the day of Pentecost. You know, I almost believe, when I look at Peter, I almost believe he needed that failure for the position that God was going to put him in.
Amen.
See, because God was going to exalt him, so he needed to circumcise him in his heart and make him realize he's nothing. Do you think Peter, after that, ever felt like he was greatest? No, when that man was healed by the gate called Beautiful, and he came running, and they're all beholding him, he says, why are you looking at us or beholding us like we did something?
Amen.
It's the name of Jesus Christ and faith in the name of Jesus Christ that made this man whole.
Amen.
Not me. It has nothing to do with me. I know what I am because I remember my failures.
Amen.
I remember where I was, and he lifted me up. See, that little, sweet, humble faith that comes to you when you're feeling your worst, that's the grace of God coming to you.
Hallelujah.
It's God sending a rope from heaven. Take the rope.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what the rope's there for.
Right.
He died so that we could be free. He died to pay the price for our sins. But I'm so unworthy to take that rope. That's what the rope's there for.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Take the rope. Believe. And let him pull you out.
Yes. Amen.
Aren't you glad for the grace
yes.
of God?
Amen.
I'm so glad when I realize I'm nothing and I'm in my worst and I'm in the pit of sorrow and self-loathing, that sweet little faith comes in there and says, listen, by his stripes you were healed.
Amen.
He was wounded for your transgression.
Yes. Amen.
Bruised for your iniquities.
Hallelujah.
By his stripes you were healed.
Amen.
He paid the price so you don't have to stay here.
Amen.
And that makes us love him all the more.
Thank you, Lord.
Why would you have anything to do with me? Why would you have anything to do with such a failure? Because failure is an event, not a person. See, don't let your failures define you. Look at Paul. Goodness. He persecuted Christians. Sure, he was full of knowledge, and you know, so many people like that. They're full of themselves, full of knowledge. They know the Word of God, but do they know God? And Paul was in that condition. And he thought he knew what was right. He's persecuting these people. He thought he was pleasing God. And he found out he wasn't. He was witnessing to Peter, Stephen being stoned and all that. What a failure.
Amen.
But then one day, God knocked him off his high horse.
That's right.
And said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then he realizes, I've been fighting against the God that I wanted to serve. I've been going down a path because of my own insecurities and my own false ideas, and I've actually been fighting against the very thing that God wants me to do.
Amen.
That happens to all of us, by the way.
Amen,
brother. Amen.
We can be led by wrong ideas, but the grace of God is what knocked Paul off his horse and helped him to see clearly by blinding his eyes first. Sometimes God needs to smack us around a little bit to get our attention.
Amen.
But thank God he gets our attention.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but when I get pricked in my heart, really pricked in my heart, I am grateful for that.
Amen.
Because I realize he doesn't have to correct me. He could just leave me to my own devices. He could just leave me go the way I think is right but is wrong. But when he comes by his word and by his spirit and he pricks us in the heart and he says, no, that's not my way. This is my way. And then we see it. And we say, what have I done? What have I done? And then he gives us a way of escape. Faith in what he did.
Amen.
Trust me. I've taken care of it. You know when David failed? David. Talk about failures. But was David a failure?
No.
We can say he failed. But from eternity, David is the man after God's own heart.
Amen.
So here, watch yourself logically here. We got to be careful. If you fail, you can't be someone after God's own heart. Wait a minute. That doesn't flush with David, right? David failed horribly. You could call him a murderer, adulterer, a liar. You could call him all these things, right? But God called him a man after his own heart.
Amen.
So what does that prove? Our failures, our sins, do not define us with God.
Amen.
They are events that if we were ever part of God, they're events that he allowed to occur so we could learn important lessons.
Amen.
Sometimes it cuts and hurts, and sometimes when we see ourselves as he sees us, we feel bad. But it's all for our learning. It's all for our good. And then David, you know, really what matters is how God sees him. And you know what I noticed about David? He knew how to repent.
Amen.
Read the Psalms.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He knew how to humble himself to God. And he loved to worship God.
Amen.
See, they are qualities that we don't think about when we see the Uriah being killed and Bathsheba, the adultery, and counting the people. All this other things that he did that were wrong. But in his heart of hearts, he loved God. He worshiped God with his heart.
Amen.
You have to look inside yourself. What is in there? Do I really love the world? You know, the world is never going to satisfy
Amen. Any
of us. If we're really Christians, we're not going to be happy in the things of the world.
Amen.
It just does not satisfy. But what satisfies a Christian? Getting in the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hearing the voice of God. Having him correct us. That actually helps us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Comforter comes to comfort us.
Amen.
There's something wonderful about the sweet Spirit of God. When we can forget about all of our doubts and fears, forget about all the cares of this world, and we can just find the time to worship him.
Amen.
For what he is. Not that we're adding to him, he's adding to us.
Amen.
Because he is God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It makes me always think of the stars there, how they're shining every day. Every day the stars are shining, giving light. And sometimes people of the world ignore the stars. Yeah, there's stars up there somewhere, you know. But what are those stars? They're faithfully shining. Faithfully. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Faithfully speaking. Faithfully declaring. See, that's how God is. He's faithful to us.
Amen.
Even when we're not paying attention.
Amen.
What a God.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy to be worshipped.
Amen.
He's worthy for us to trust in Him.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy for us to believe His word.
Amen.
Over all that we see, over all that we feel. Don't trust your feelings. Your feelings are not valid the same every day.
Yes, sir.
You may actually be feeling something today, and tomorrow you realize, I don't feel that way at all. But that was a real feeling I had yesterday. But listen, don't be led by your feelings. Don't be led by your fears. Be led by your faith,
Amen.
Which is what you believe.
Amen.
Sometimes we feel things that are contrary to what we believe. Like you feel fear. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, we could go on. Adam and Eve's failures. Abraham and Sarah. Jacob. Joseph and his brothers. Aaron made a golden calf. It's not his best moment. Miriam, you know, was cursed with leprosy. She challenged Moses, right? She didn't realize what God thought about Moses. She's like, he's my brother. No big deal, you know. It was a big deal to God.
Amen.
God help us to see. Amen. Israel, many failures. Solomon failed. But in the end, see, it matters what God thinks. When I study the message of the hour, the end time message, Brother Branham's ministry, I notice many times he's trying to get people away from fear. I sense that. I hear it in the messages. He talks about it many times. He knew that fear would bring doubt, and doubt would hinder what God was trying to do. See, faith would bring the results of salvation and healing. And the purpose of his ministry. But doubts and fears would hinder the results. Like the story we always tell a million times, there's a woman in the prayer line, and she's a sainted woman. Brother Bam said she was a real Christian, Holy Ghost-filled Christian. And she comes up for healing, but in her mind, she's thinking, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And no matter what he could do, those doubts and fears that she had because of her own looking at herself, she didn't catch her healing, and he couldn't help her. But then there was a prostitute that came in the prayer line, not living right, immoral living, right? And she hears the gospel. He said the prostitute would say, well, I believe what he said. I believe it applies to me. I believe it. Saved and healed right there.
Amen.
What does that prove to us?
Amen.
Healing is not, all those blessings of God are not based on how good we are. But they are based on our faith in what He said.
Amen.
Our faith in what He said is more important than the things that we do. See, because God's looking at our faith. He's made a way of escape for our failures. Help us, Lord, to see.
Amen.
Now, I don't believe the prostitute went back out and was a prostitute anymore. I believe He changes us.
Yes.
I do believe He changes us. And like He said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more.
Right.
See? So we know it's possible, people, to fail, be forgiven, and then go back to sin. But let me ask you this. If that woman who was caught in adultery and Jesus forgave her, and she went out and sinned again, and she was in adultery again, do you think He wouldn't forgive her if she came back?
Amen.
I believe He would.
Amen.
So the devil's the one that convinces you failed too many times. Way too many times. There's no sense in you going back for forgiveness now.
Hmm.
He's a liar.
Amen.
Here, we got to get this through our head. Jesus came to save sinners.
Amen.
That's why He came. He came to save us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Help us, Lord. We want Him to change us. We want Him to perfect us.
Amen.
But as long as we're in this flesh, it's going to be a little sticky.
Amen.
And we're not going to be perfect in the flesh, but become perfect by our faith in Jesus Christ. Perfection comes because of his sacrifice, not because of us.
Amen.
Our faith in what he did makes us perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Faith brings results. In Job, it says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." See, if you actually fear something, you can actually bring it to yourself. Your fear brings the thing you fear to you, where faith will keep that away. See, that's why we need to trust God. He says, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me." And Job was perfect and upright, eschewed evil. God was bragging on Job to the devil. But the thing that he feared came upon him, right? He was always afraid for his children. He prayed every morning, lest they curse God. You know, he's a, God help us.
Amen.
You know, if someone's afraid, they'll get sick. They do. They tend to get sick. If they're afraid that God is going to condemn them, it hinders them. Let me just read another scripture to you. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
Amen.
See, so when that fear of being condemned comes on you, you need to look at this scripture. Have we heard the word of God? "He that heareth my word," yes, we've heard the word, "and believeth on him that sent me," yes, I believe on him that sent him, "hath everlasting life."
Amen.
"Is passed from death to life." When that fear comes on you, just speak it. Say, "I am passed from death unto life."
Amen.
Death is a doorway to me. Fear of death comes on people. Don't be afraid to die. If you're a born again Christian, death's going to take you to a better place.
Amen.
Death is a doorway to a better place. Now, we're not going to go through that door until it's God's time. That's why it's irrational to try and take your own life. See, of course, that's the devil that would try to do that to somebody. Because maybe God has plans for them, and the devil's like doesn't want them, God, to use them. But I personally believe that if the devil confuses somebody, I don't believe God condemns them for that. That's my personal opinion. I know people say, "Oh, if you take your life, it's a mortal sin, you're condemned." I don't want anybody to take their life. But people want to condemn everybody. You know what? I want everybody to be saved myself.
Amen.
And I don't believe God condemn people that get confused. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the point is to choose faith and reject fear. We should be determined in our mind what? God cannot fail.
Amen.
God cannot lie.
Amen.
God's word cannot return void.
Amen.
I will trust in his word no matter how I feel, no matter what I see, no matter what anybody else does. I will trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me just read a few good quotes from Brother Branham. Sean, if you have them, we can put them up. Get away from all the scare. And I had to condense this down because there were so many good ones. I had to just take a few. Now, one night this week, if the Lord's will, and I want to speak a gospel message on God's unconditional love. And perhaps maybe tomorrow night, if the Lord will, it's nothing but just to build the faith of the people, just to get them built up to the place where it gets all the scare away from them. And we're trying our best to do that. The Christian has not one worry in the world.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. They should be the most freest, happiest people in the world. Because there's nothing. You can't lose. All things work together for good to them that love God. So how can we lose? There's just nothing to lose, is there? We're just anchored away in Jesus Christ, going home to glory, having a good time while we're going along, God providing everything for us. Marvelous.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's how we should think.
Amen.
I can't lose.
Amen.
Because Jesus found me.
Hallelujah.
I want to say I found Jesus, but Jesus found me.
Yes, Lord.
I can't lose.
Amen.
redemption by judgment. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. My, if that don't knock out all the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals and all, I don't know what does. It just knocks everything out and makes a he out of it. Is that right? That's right. He that heareth my words, let him be it whatever he wants to. That's right. Believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Oh my, let the ship rock then and the old timber squeak, going to wreck up one of these days anyhow. But it isn't going to wreck till it hits the other shore. That's just as true as can be. She's going to make it in just as sure as anything. God, because God promised it. Oh my, when I think of that, it just takes all the scare away. Yeah. Takes all. Listen to this, takes all the fuss away, takes all the malice away, makes that fellow who mistreated you look like your brother again. So let's get him by the hand. That's right. Oh my, he or she's done wrong. Why? What difference does that make? I did too.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Next one here. This one's a little lengthy, but I just couldn't cut it out. Forgive me. That's the trouble with man tonight. That's the trouble with people tonight, is you're scared. That's the biggest curse there is on the full gospel people or any other people, is because they are afraid. God has made a provision, but you're afraid to take his word for it. If you wasn't afraid tonight, why, you would take your healing by faith and know that God promised it, and the thing would just go plumb away from you. Afraid, scared. I've noticed it. And that's the reason I'm such a believer in healing. I know that if you can get away from that scare and get love in its place, something's going to happen. There's only two faculties that govern a human. One of them is faith, which brings results. The other is fear, which has no value in it at all. Faith is of God, fear is of the devil. Fear makes you weary. Fear makes you wonder. And if I was going to die in the morning, what good would it be to do to get all stewed up about it? What if I was going to be electrocuted in the morning? My life had to end tomorrow morning. What good would that do to me to worry about it? Well, you say, what good would it do to have faith? Faith can sign my pardon, sure. There's value in faith. Don't be weary. Don't be scared. Don't be upset. Just have faith and believe. And the only way you can have faith, you have to have love first. For love produces faith. Perfect love casts out all fear. Wish I had the time to tell you experiences of wildlife I have and what I've seen conquered by faith, by love. I told you the other night about the old possum being sent up. I seen a vicious bull one day. I was going to kill me. This is on the record. I was a game warden at the time. I was going over the hill to pray for a sick man, and we're supposed to pack a gun, but you wouldn't go pray for a sick man with a gun in your hand. So I took the gun and laid it on the old truck and crossed over through the field, and I was out in the field, and I had ought to have thought of this killer bull was out there. He just killed a colored man on a farm, Mr. Burks, just about 3 months before that. They sold him up there to the people that had these Durham cattle. And then when I started across the field, right out in the big open field, not over about 30 yards from me, that this fellow raised up and threw his horns down, let out a big bellow. If you know what I'm talking about. And there he was, horns like this, and here he come. At first, it scared me. I looked for a tree, and there wasn't any tree. And I know he could outrun me to the fence, so I thought, well, this is it. So then something happened. Oh, God, if that would only stay there instead of going away. Something happened. I wish God would let it happen to everybody here tonight just long enough to get healed, see? Something happened that I wasn't scared of the bull. I felt sorry because I disturbed him. I was in his field. He was laying out there not bothering me, and I come along and woke him up, and so I felt sorry for him. Now, you can't bluff it. It has to be there. That's the way faith is. You can't bluff. You've got to really have it. The devil will know it. And this fellow started towards me with his head down just as hard as he could. I wasn't no more afraid of the bull than I was of any of my dear brothers and sisters standing on the platform. And he run within about 5 feet of me, and he stopped. He looked at me so depleted. He looked to the right and left, and I said, "Fellow, I'm sorry I disturbed you." I said, "Now you're God's creature, and I'm God's servant. Now the Creator that made you made me, and I'm his servant. I'm on my journey across the hill to pray for one of his sick children. If I'd have known you'd been laying here, I wouldn't have come by and disturbed you. So now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Creator, go back and lay down. At the judgment bar, you'll see it brought to light. That bull looked at me a few minutes, turned around, walked over, and lay down. And I stood there, tears running down my cheeks. I walked within 5 feet of that bull, and he never even turned his head and looked at me. Why? Instead of hating him, I loved him. Love will conquer anything.
Amen.
I really believe that, right? That's what conquered my heart when I know that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son that I wouldn't have to perish. Know that I was born in a world, a sinner, and was perishing, and God loved me that he gave his son for my life to be redeemed. And then I couldn't hate no more. I had to love. That's what brings the results, you see, is love.
Amen.
And then there's some other quotes. Let me just read them real quick. Every promise in the book is yours. Every amen and yay is yours. What you got to be worried about? Even old age, it shouldn't have a thing to do with it. Sickness has nothing to do with it. God promised it. God has to keep his promise.
Amen.
See, we're trying to get away from this, get the scare away from you. Jehovah Jireh, 1957. If ever I come to Edmonton again, I'd like to come for about a month. In the first 2-3 weeks, just Bible teaching on these things to get that scare from people. They come real nervously. That's not it. You come quietly, reverently, soberly, without a shadow of a doubt. It's anchored. Nothing can ever take it away. And then God, who is rich in mercy, it's all the same thing. Maybe we'll leave that go, that last quote. Praise God. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen.
It's get away from all that scare. Don't let fear rule your life. Don't let fear ruin your life.
Amen.
See, you can tell the difference. Just like when you look at little children. I hate to say it today, you can look at little children and you can see if children have been disciplined or not. Some of them got the wild stare in their eyes and they rule their parents. And what it is a child naturally goes to the wrong. But a parent that corrects his child and you know, sometimes they need a spanking to let them know who's boss. I hate to say it. I hate to do it. But we did it. And you can tell that child, there's something different about them. Isn't that right?
Amen.
There's scripture for it.
Amen.
And then the other child and it's the same way. Someone who lives their life by fear, you can feel it. You walk into the atmosphere that's around them, and it's anxiety, fear, always fretting about something. That's not the Holy Ghost. You walk into an atmosphere of a Holy Ghost-filled person who lives by love and faith and doesn't have fear in their life, there's a peace.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a calm.
Amen.
There's just something wonderful about it. There's no fretting. There's no worrying.
Amen.
Which one do we want to be led by? I think we all want to live by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I think we all want to live in peace. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads to the Lord Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your mercy and grace. And Lord, I thank you that when we fall down, you pick us up again.
Amen.
As the saying goes, Lord, you didn't throw the clay away.
Amen.
But you mold us over and over again.
Yes.
And if the clay doesn't form what you want, you just put it back on the wheel and you mold it again.
Amen.
Lord, help us to stay on the wheel. Give us that real hunger for your word, oh God. May we make time, Lord, to meditate on the Word of God and to seek your face, Lord. Lord, we know that's the answer. It's such a simple thing to say, to read your Bible and pray every day, but Lord, in reality, it's the greatest thing we could do, Lord.
Amen.
It's to tear ourselves away from all the cares of this life and to spend time in your presence, being schooled by you, being taught by you, feeding on your word. Lord, bless each one that's here today. Lord, forgive us where we're wrong, O God. Forgive us for our failures, for our sins, our transgressions. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we were healed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for what you've done, Lord. Help us to truly become what you want us to be in this life. And Lord, I believe faith will lead us there. Thank you for your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If a musician will come. Amen. Praise the Lord. I struggle with this message. I was actually afraid I didn't have enough to say. But I pushed aside the fear and said, you know what? It's good if I don't have anything to say, because then God will have something to say, right? And sometimes I think God works that way. You need to step out by faith. You need to realize that God's in control.
Amen.
I'm going to trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Amen. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Oh, He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Come every soul by sin oppressed, their mercy with the Lord, and He will surely, isn't that wonderful, by trusting in His word. So we got to only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Oh, He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Oh, He will save you. He will save you.